Channel 2 right, and beginning of the visit was Ms. Guthrie and Shirley and Suzanne and Rick. This is Thursday, the 12th of October, 72. Channel 2 right, and beginning of the visit was Shirley and Ms. Guthrie and Suzanne and Rick. This is Thursday, the 12th of October, 72. Channel 2 right, and beginning of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Shirley and Suzanne and Rick. This is Thursday, the 12th of October, 72.
No, I'm going to sit next to him because he wouldn't ask me over.
That's why she came.
That's why I came.
I'm going.
You're just sick to beat her off.
I do everything that anybody don't want me to do.
If you can figure it out.
Yes. If I can figure it out.
I thought you were talking about doing things. She's been doing them.
Has she? What you been doing?
I've been moving around here and there, packing and building barns.
Destroy that barn. Lord, you never saw such a barn.
Oh, Lordy, I say you did.
Up in Georgia. Her and Jim and Daddy.
Built that in 2 months. Well, we know you're well experienced. You can help yourself over there.
Almost in a day.
2 months, I mean.
Yeah.
And she's even got paint on it.
Good night. Two-story barn. Yeah, I don't see the hay in there, though.
Well, that's because we're all living it right now.
Oh, you are.
Right now, yeah. You've seen people build a barn and then live in the barn while they built the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen them build a basement and then before their father built the house.
Well, we lived in the chicken house that we got ours built.
And
chicken house over there where we were.
Yeah. I remember Bill Gary up there. They had this great big old house, big basement, and what they did, they just put a temporary roof on it. Yeah, just it was built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that felt paper.
Yeah.
Rolled that out there while it was. And went ahead just like this.
We were talking about the Hogan's house coming over here. They were supposed to take, what, 30 days to get it built? They've been on it since.
And it still isn't completed. And I went in there the other day. And the love bugs was in there. I bet they was that deep.
Mm.
And knots in there, you know, drippings. And the floor hadn't been cleaned or anything. And Zane said, that they told him, said, go ahead and put your carpet in. I said, well, you just do that. I said, it'll cover up them love bugs.
They don't need one. Leave the love bugs there and use that for a carpet.
I'm telling you, that people are getting so sorry to working on animals.
If you got to tell them that, if you got to start that far back, there's not much hope, is there?
Well, I can't get nobody to do nothing for me, so.
What you want done?
I went all over Alachua County hunting somebody to come repair my old house.
Mm.
These colored boys over here promised to call me up, let me know.
Get a word.
I ain't seen them one of them.
Haven't heard a word? That's a Gilboy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best. If you can get them. I don't know how to get them. I don't know. I haven't had anybody to help me. Mr. Eastman's over here a little while, a couple of days. But he left most of the work.
Hadn't
to
anybody eat my jam?
Don't tell me.
Yes,
how
they have this.
You just wait till I cook some more jam and bring it to you.
Let me tell you, I have hoarded it until Suzanne came, and we have started, and it's the best stuff. That I just bring it out for special. That's it. Have you ever eaten any pest, Joey?
I don't eat it. See, I just eat old store-bought stuff. I just save that for a special occasion.
We've been saving that for special. That's the best stuff I ever ate.
It looks like it's good, and you can't even miss any out of the jar.
Don't tell me.
They don't eat jam like we do. You know, our kids, boy, that would last me. They wouldn't be enough to go around one meal, right?
I just couldn't drink.
We just
drank 3 or 4 glasses of tea.
Oh, did you?
We'll give it to the garbage can.
My husband is working for her.
you can imagine.
And
he's gonna live a long time.
We had late dinner. I loaded up.
What are they doing? Cutting clover?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't tell me.
Marvin is.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You going to have enough to cut?
According to Billy Hughes, he said we have abundance down there, but I don't know. I don't know what he was looking at.
Yeah.
He said it's good and thick down at the other end. Of course, I didn't go down there, but all I saw
Marvin
was the front end.
Over there?
In her corner of the field, in the
Needless to say, I gotta get back and pick up the kids when they get off the bus. Then they killed
he
another
one
down the road.
He had swallowed a rabbit, or else he had a bunch of little ones.
She did.
That thing was that big around. If there'd been somebody there that would have cut him open, I would have liked to see him cut open. My brother killed one time. And he cut him open, and he had a grown rabbit in him.
Yeah.
He was a big one. Yeah, and then going home, I found one on the highway, and Marvin killed him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That same day?
This morning, hers, it was a big one.
Was this one, did it have hearts, too, or was it the...
Yes, he had hearts.
Two females.
Is that the heart?
Heart is a female, and the diamond is a male.
Hers was a big one. I mean, he was some.
What'd you do with him?
Marvin had a long stick in the truck, and he took him and throwed him over the fence.
And bring him with him?
Oh, no. He wouldn't fool with anything.
He cut it with a mower.
He said that he seen him, and he just went up there, and he... Land it down on him, you know, and he did that 2 or 3 times.
Woman.
She's all over bringing out the food.
Do you have a carrot cake?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Some cream and sugar up here, shall
I? Carrot cake?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will have some cream and sugar for my coffee. I never have graduated from this.
That's so good.
Where did you get on the carrot cake?
I got a recipe.
You just sit there and breathe?
Mm-hmm.
Bring it whole.
Grate your carrots and put them in.
Like coating?
You make it about the same as you would for a pumpkin cake, don't you? Substituting the raisins, the carrots for the pumpkin. Mash your carrots up. That was the way I thought.
No, you grate them raw.
Yeah, then you cook them or just...
No,
just
put them in your carrot.
I'd be afraid you'd grate your finger.
Hmm?
I'd be afraid you'd grate your finger.
Well, I grate them to make desserts and things, and I don't... If last month.
Yeah, you don't grate your finger.
You learn to be careful, Nick.
Huh? No.
I've never been able to do that. I always take top off my finger.
Oh, he thinks he is whole.
You didn't have to tell him that.
I've got one of these electric ones, you know, and you're supposed to put it in, put the carriage in the top, and just plug it in and let it work itself.
She
and I was having Danny to grate the carrots to put my salad in.
Uh-huh.
I said, now all you got to do is put the carrots right in the top.
Her
and just the lid
down
and make sure you hold the lid down.
No, I got to have some.
Well, do I take them out of the bag first? He's going to stick them in the bag at all.
Well, I went to Dr. Pinkston, you know, Dr. Pinkston used to do that, and he sent me down to Dr. Lowe. That's the only one I could get. All of them was out of town. And the nurse told me, he said, you must sit here all afternoon and not get to see him. I said, well, I'm going home then. And now I haven't got to see him since.
You change doctors?
No, I just want a head specialist. I need a ear doctor.
Well, I know a good one.
Where in the world?
Well, it depends on what you want done with your head.
I don't know. I want him to look at my ear and tell me what's wrong with it. It hurts me, and I've been having trouble with it.
Well, it's a lot easier to get an ear doctor than it is a head doctor.
Well, an ear doctor and a head doctor's all the same, isn't it?
Well, it sounds a little different.
Got a good one, Dr. Love, but he can't see her until the 21st because he's in Chicago.
No, that was the one in Ocala, Dr. Neal.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dr. Love.
No,
he's
the one
in Chicago.
I went in and sit down to wait for him to look at the ear, and the nurse said, you might sit here all afternoon and not get to see him.
Yeah.
So I told Marvin, I said, let's go home.
Well, his partner. Why don't you just ask for his partner?
Who is his partner?
Well, it doesn't matter. Just tell you, if he's not there, just ask for his
partner. I didn't know that he had a partner.
Well, you ought to assume that. Assume. Don't take a chance.
Mm-hmm. He does have somebody in there, but I don't see
him. Yeah, but he's just
an
eyeglass fan.
Oh, no.
He's just glass.
Well, now, let me tell you. The one I'm talking about has a partner. Out on 16th Avenue. And the one I go to is Dr. Garlington. And you don't have to wait a month to see him. Because I went to see him. It wasn't my head. What was it? Where did I go to see the... Oh, yes. I got to clear my throat so I could bother nobody.
He's the one I took Bonnie to for
yeah.
the consults.
Oh, really?
And I took him to... we've been taking her to him quite a few times. And he says, well, I'm going to put her in the hospital. And he looked at her. He said, take her over and put her in the hospital. And we'll take her tonsils out. I said, all right. So I took her over to the hospital and got her ready. She'd already been through her tests and everything. So they got her ready, put her in bed. And 20 minutes later now, he came up and he looked at her and he looked down her throat and he said, take her home. I can't have her here today. She's got a cold settling down her throat. We got to clear this. Well, now, why didn't he tell me that 20 minutes before I brought her over to the hospital? I went through all this and got up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You better eat that. That is delicious.
I know.
She's ready to get started.
You better get started on that.
And so then we had to take the kids, take Bonnie all the way back home, and dismiss the babysitter. Oh, it was an awful mess. So that was the last time I saw Dr. Garlington. He never did pull his tonsils.
Did you say this?
I know she had a
fork. Oh, yes.
Well,
what happened?
It just went down?
She just had a cold?
No, it took her to Dr. Love, and he had them out in no time at all. Matter of fact, I put two more kids in there with tonsillitis and got them all at the same time. So so I'm all
Did they give you reduced rates?
I thought I was going to have roller skates when I got them in there, because you know how they all yell for mommy after they've had the tonsils out, and I was running back and forth, so they wouldn't put them all in the same room. Here I was, way down the other end of the corridor, and run all the way back, you know, mommy, and I'd run back down there, going back and forth, but I got it all done. Boy, I don't have any more tonsils to worry about.
Oh, where's Dr. Love?
What is his?
He's down there, right across from the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah, right near
there somewhere. On fourth. From Lachaway General Hospital.
Well, Garland is still frustrated.
Yeah, he is. He's supposed to be the best.
Yeah, and he's so nice.
Dr. Love is the cheapest.
You can go in there and cuss. There's not many places you can cuss anymore.
But you know I wouldn't do that.
Well, I would. I'm not going to.
He did.
No. Also, there's not many places left where you can cuss. I come up here from Rush Tractor, and they sent a little bad eye. Cool-headed, knock-kneed fella. And I started talking to him, and the horses sort of like we talk. Why, he got to looking at me as if he just sort of spit in my eye. He wasn't going to have any of that sort of talk going on in his presence. That little country fella, you know he was. That eye, toe-headed, sawed off. You just have to call him Mister. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something?
I tell you one thing Dr. Garland did. We were interested in a friend of ours who was having trouble with his ears, and he had been to him. And the guy said, "Now, ask him about him." And he said, "You wait just a minute, I'll get the chart and I'll tell you." He took his time.
He remembered it.
He remembered the patient. And he remembered the diagnosis.
Yeah. I asked him if these earphones were doing any good. And he says, no, it's deterioration, you see, and they wouldn't help him.
But he wasn't too busy. You see, it would take time.
Yeah.
And of course, they slip up like they did on Bonnie.
Tell him about Bonnie.
Oh, Dr. Hadley called because he's got me kind of worried now. He didn't find anything wrong with the blood. They didn't find anything wrong with her eyes. So I figured all the reports were in. Then he called me. Mrs. Guthrie was there and Billy Hughes was there. We were having a round table discussion this morning. After they'd no sooner left, and she went down to the field to see Marvin. Billy Hughes left a little later. And the phone rang. It's Dr. Hadley. And he said, I want you to know the report came back on Bonnie's urine test. And I said, well, what was it? And he said, well, and he gave me a name as long as my arm. And I said, what's the layman's language on this? And he said, well, seems the white corpuscles are eating up her red corpuscles. So he said, I want to do some more tests on this. It could be very, very serious. So now he's got me worrying again. And I tell him, I said, well, I'll go right over there at schoolhouse and get her and bring her in. He said, no. I said, well, he said, what you doing tomorrow? And I said, well, we're going to the Northeast County Fair up in Callahan tomorrow. He said, the whole family? I said, yeah. I said, Johnny's interested in the cattle judging up there. Bonnie's interested in the rodeo. So I said, we're taking the others along for the ride. And he said, well, fine. He said, I said, well, I can get her over there tomorrow. That's more important than this is. He said, no. He said, you take them and have a good time tomorrow. And he said, I'll see you Saturday morning. So he's going to be in his office from 9 to 12, and I'm supposed to be in there Saturday morning with Bonnie. He's going to run some more tests off.
Well, where did you get on to this Northeast Fair?
Let me tell you how I got on to that. We had a cattle sale here. You know, I was selling those calves here about a year or two ago, about 2 years ago. And a man and a woman named Terrell and their son, he was 16 or 17, came to the place and wanted to know if I had a heifer calf. And I said, yes, but I said, I can't catch her. She's down there in the field. And he said, well, do you mind if I take my pick among those calves? And I said, no, you can take your pick. I said, you catch her. I can't catch the one, you know, the one that I knew you was going to pick. And he said, yes, that's the one I want, all right. So he reached back in his big old truck and he got a lasso out there and he threw it and he missed her one the first time. And then she jumped the creek. When she did, he took the rope and he threw it and he caught her around the neck and drug her right
into
the
creek. In that barn.
So he lassoed that calf and tied him up, put him in the back of the truck, and that's all it was to it. And he took the calf home with him. And he entered it in some local fairs up there and won second and third prize with her. And then he took her to the Tampa Fair and he won second prize with her. And then he asked us up there for the final show, which was the Northeast County Fair in his hometown of Callahan. So we went up there just to see what the heifer looked like after all this time. And after he was telling me she won these second and third prizes, well, we went up there. And sure enough, she won second place again in her age range, you know. So he's entering her again in the Tampa Fair this year. And he's going to stop by and pick up Johnny and his bull. And they're going to enter, Johnny's going to enter his bull, and he's going to enter this heifer. Side by side. I'm tickled to death about it.
Well, I guess so.
So he said he's entering her again, plus 12 more head that he's got up there for the Northeast County Fair. And we've been invited to come up again, and Johnny's going to help him with the showing of those animals. So I'm pretty well thrilled about it.
Now, where'd you run into him?
He bought a calf from me.
Where is he from, up there?
Callahan, way he's up there next to the Georgia border.
He's from Callahan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started.
So
is Callahan in the edge of Jackson?
No, it's way up north of there.
Well, is it past that?
It's almost the Georgia line.
Well, I didn't realize that. Did you, Faye?
No, I didn't realize.
It's quite a ways up.
Okay. Shelley, what I had, you know, I talked to you on the phone, and this school business was seemed to be out of control.
Oh.
And I hadn't
you
had a chance
to
check in with
you. Ready to eat that piece of cake? You dropped it.
Isn't that bad?
You know who I ran into? Just a minute. I'll tell you about that. But I got to tell you who we ran into at the university. Merman and I was, well, he ran into him the first day, and he knew he was there, but he forgot to tell me about it. But he was coming around one corner, and this kid was coming around another corner, and they collided. And he looked at Merman, and Merman looked at him, and both of them had their mouths open this far, you know. And Merman knew the guy, the kid, but he couldn't remember his name. And the boy remembered Merman, but he couldn't remember Merman's name. They stood there looking at each other, and then finally it both struck him at the same time who they were. And it was Alan.
Why don't tell me?
It was Alan. And he lives right there in Murphy, right where Berman's working. And I went over there to see Berman. And Berman and I, and Bonnie and I stopped to see him, just stopped by to see what he was doing. And he was sitting there with his feet up on the desk. And Ronald happened to go by, another boy we know over there. So I was ran out to catch him and I was talking to him. While I was talking to him, this boy walked by me and he looked and he kept walking, you know. And I told Ronald, I said, I know that boy. I think I know him. And I left Ronald standing there and I went and followed him. This other guy. If it hadn't been him, I'd have died a thousand times. Sure enough, it was him. It was Alan. I was so surprised. Oh, so now he says he's going to come out and see us, and I'm waiting.
You know what? I jumped in. And it made him mad. And I told him, he wrote me before school started. He says he'd been working all summer, and he had a new car, and he'd like to come up here a week early. And I didn't like the way he took off. I wrote him another note back. I says, you better get out of the doghouse before you come back up here. Miss Dodd asked me, where's that boy?
It was a nice
one. Well, it sort of.
Because you see, there he is. He's bound to go by Berman's.
Mm-hmm.
Bound to. I didn't know
where
he
was. Right by the office.
And you see, he could go over there and talk to Berman, and Berman would be the only sensible person he knows on the whole damn campus. There ain't many out there, you see.
Well, that campus is in bad shape. He's the only sensible one. God forbid. I need to go by and talk with him. I can't even talk to him, but I'm married to him.
Let me tell you, a while ago, we come out from your place, and John Henry and Donald was out there. You know, they seen that commotion going on, and they just standing there, and they put down a little button over there inside of your fence. Them surveyors did.
Oh.
And John Henry was wanting to know where starting on him. I said, I don't know enough about him. He had nothing to do with that. Before I left him, I said, John Henry, I said, you just like your mama. He thought that I was talking about he had so much sense.
You mean John Henry?
And I was talking about he favored her. He looked like George didn't have no sense. When I got to the house, I said, Marvin, and we was eating dinner, I said, did you notice what John Henry said when I said that he was just like his mama? And Marvin said, yeah. I said, what do you think about that? I said, he thought that I thought that he had lots of sense like his mama, but he looked like.
He took it the right way, didn't he?
He took it the wrong way.
The right way for him.
I guess a man got a choice. Was his mom smart?
Yeah, his mother was smart. She used to be a school teacher.
I didn't know that.
You sure did? Miss Buckknight was real smart.
And she could teach school although she hadn't been to school or something like that.
Oh, she went to school. And she was just as smart as a whip. She had a garden any time of the year.
She's as smart in spite of being a school teacher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
She was. Oh. Miss Buckknight worked. She growed stuff.
And had a garden.
Any time that you might want to mess a vegetable, she had it.
Yeah.
And raised big bunch of turkeys and chickens.
When
she had some cows and her hogs.
She had them herself.
And she had a nice orange grove there. He was down south making moonshine.
Well, I'd forgotten that.
He was an Everglades.
He'd come back every
day. I never seen Mr. Buckknight till just a few years before she died.
She just took care of the household?
Yes, right.
She died of cancer, didn't she?
Did they fish then?
Oh, yeah.
They must be doing wonderful down there now.
That's the reason.
Oh, you mean catfish?
Yeah.
No. No, sir. John Henry and George wasn't big enough to catfish.
Well, they started that after they got
That's
big
right.
enough. That is, his mama didn't do it.
Mm-mm. No, sir.
They had a big truck down there loading up the fish when I came out of there. They must really be pulling the fish right there. Like they were going there. I've never seen that big truck before.
But back then when George and John Henry done the fishing, George wasn't always there fishing, was he?
No.
He's out in the woods part of the time. Well, did they do both?
I don't think so. I don't think, well, they frog hunted and fished a little, but not much.
They didn't do much.
They didn't. They done a whole lot of it.
Right straight on. But they never got caught.
Yeah, they did. That was their moonshine still down there back at our place that got chopped up.
Yeah. But they didn't get caught.
No. No. We found a big moonshine still down there back of our place. We was fencing it off.
You did.
When the revenues cut it up. Had a brick furnace and all.
Yeah.
I seen something on there, and I said, what in the world is that y'all in the morning? He says, there's no moonshine still. I said, let's go look at it. And he went and looked at it.
Yeah. What all was there?
The old brick furnace,
yeah.
And some old tin tubs,
yeah.
And I reckon the boiler, don't you have to have a boiler?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was a great big old drum looking thing, and it was chopped up all in the sides for the axe.
Yeah. And the copper was gone.
Well, I don't know. I didn't look for any copper.
Well, you'd have seen the coil.
Well, it could have been out there. I don't know.
Well, you'd have seen.
Well, I don't know. It's been so long, it might have been buried under the leaves or something.
Yes.
Well,
it was out of commission. It was all chopped up in the ground.
Oh, yeah. It's been years.
Huh.
Since that hadn't been just lately. That's been years ago since that was used.
I don't know why they can't just keep on just with a little moonshine now and then, but it seems like they don't take chance anymore, does it?
I bet we could put us up one back there. Stay there forever and make moonshine as rough as that swamp is.
It's
there,
you know where it's rock. Yeah, they wouldn't want to go back to get that.
There ain't but one way that they'd ever spot us, and that would be through an airplane. And I don't believe an airplane would even stop long enough to even.
Yeah, those airplanes. I think they ought to rule them out.
But you know, if I was making moonshine, I'd make it right in my house.
Whereabouts?
Where'd it be good and handy?
In the kitchen.
Right there in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
I don't know how to make it, and I don't know how to set up. I don't know nothing about it, but it seemed to me like if anybody was to make moonshine, why, make it in the house. Mr. Boyd used to.
Yes. In the house.
In the house.
Yes. One of his houses exploded.
That's why, I guess.
Yeah. Over there in front of Robert's
house. Got his boiler too hot.
The house he's living in. Robert told me about it.
Well, he used to live way back, what they call a McCray place. Back of him in there.
Oh, yes.
And he made it in there.
Oh, this place up there on the road, that's recent.
That's not the place.
No. But that, was that an old place?
Mm-hmm. The McCready place?
No.
Or the place that he owns. Yeah, that's an old place.
That's still an old place. They just remodeled it.
Mm-hmm. No, they're building a house. See, the old house is back of the...
That's right. That's
and
an old
the
place
old.
There, and then the new one there in front.
Mm-hmm.
And the old house where they made the moonshine.
No, it was
that's
way back.
I see. Yeah.
The back of that pond.
Oh, he got a great big swamp back there. It's big, nice swamp, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine in the old days they lost cattle in that back in there. Was that much of it, didn't they? Yeah.
What you reckon an old cow would do? She used to come up to a barrel of mash and drink the belly full of it.
Oh.
Reckon she'd get happy?
Yeah.
They tell me hogs used to.
Yes.
Well, you know what you can do. You can get yourself some and try it out on your hog.
And my hog's done dead.
Oh.
He's sitting in the freezer now.
You've already killed him. Probably he must have grew in a hurry.
Then I can't eat him.
Can't eat him. Why?
I don't know.
Why did Mary?
That's right.
You can't eat him?
I can't eat him. That's the first horse I ever killed in my life, and I couldn't eat him.
Oh, oh my God. Oh, for goodness sake.
That's right.
Can Marvin eat
it? Marvin don't eat, but a very little bit of hog meat. I asked him, Marvin, you want me to? No, I don't want that.
So you have to feed it to your friends then.
It's just like pickling your little dog there.
How big was he when you killed him?
Oh, he was pretty big.
Good gracious, he must have grew in a hurry. It doesn't seem like it's been very long ago that we picked him up.
And he was some hog.
I wish I had seen him before you butchered him.
He's all fat. He had nothing but pure grease.
Well, yeah. I do know. You must have given him a lot of that milk.
Most of what he got. You ought to see my water spring, water outfit.
Right there?
Mm-hmm.
You going to have some grass?
No, I'm going to have me a garden.
Oh. You got yourself an irrigation?
Yeah, you ought to come over there and see that this afternoon. Marvin watered that garden late.
Oh, out there in the field?
Mm-hmm.
Where you had the peas?
No, down at the water hole.
It works, you pump it out of the water hole?
Mm-hmm.
It's a rainbow bird type thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
And shoots water up the high.
That's the only way you can have a garden.
She will.
The only way you can have a garden.
How you get it out there?
I got me a little motor. And I got me a hose running down into the water hole, and that little motor just sits there and pumps, and I mean that thing pumps water. Yeah, I ain't kidding you.
Well,
I'm going to do the same thing before I plant another garden.
I don't intend to plant no more garden unless I got away. Now I'm worried about my water hole.
Going dry? Oh, no.
Pump in the water. I don't know. Sure it will.
I'll tell you, if I had had a garden...
Do you know anybody I could get to go there and dig it out for me?
Mr. Weaver.
Make it deeper.
There's a fella, and I can't think of his name, but he flies jet planes from here to Miami and all over. He lives there at the creek down on Arnold Road. You know where Mr. Arnold lives,
mm-hmm.
back in there? He lives back in there somewhere. Berman knows where he lives because he does some work for him. And he has a drag line and bulldozer and stuff like that. He could make it work over there, sure.
It wouldn't take very long, about a half a day. See, I already got one. And all I need is just digging it out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to drain your water hole.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pump all day or just turn it on off the
No, we went down there and pumped a half a day and run it with a big plastic pipe to water it down, you know. We wanted to poison it on account of the mole crickets, and you have to have it wet. So we watered her down, we soaked her good, and then we put out our mole cricket bait. And then yesterday we went in there and broke it up good and planted our garden and watered it.
Did you use any of the weed killer?
No, ma'am.
I think I'm going to treat the ground next time with that.
I'm scared of it.
I'm not half as scared of that as I am the snakes and then weeds when I go.
They say that turnips will take up that poison.
Oh, they will.
And I'm scared of it.
Hmm.
You know, I've said this for a long time. If I'd had a little garden all the time I've been out here, instead of those cows, I'd been way ahead.
Well, I'm going to have me a pump put down in the middle of my field in the pasture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got one up there between where we live and Pat.
Yeah.
and all I got to do is to get me some pipe and put down, and I'm going to have me one, and I'm going to water me some grass next year.
Yes. Yes. Well, now you see what happens in the spring of the year, these dry springs, you know. It looks green out there. It looks like you got grass, but ain't it a grass there?
Mm-hmm.
And all it needs is moisture.
Well, sir, I told Marvin, I said, if we'd have pumped that much water with electric pump, it would cost us $100.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yes. And this just little old one horse?
No, I don't think it's a one horse. I really don't. I believe it's a 3.5 horse.
Oh, geez.
I'm not for sure.
You just give it a crank, though.
Huh?
You can just crank it.
Just crank it, and she just goes on. It just sits up there and just, you can run it just as fast as you want to, or idle her down where it'll go through a garden hose.
What's the size of your pump coming from the inlet on the pump?
Miss God, I couldn't tell you.
And well, half inch or inch
five? I really don't know. You'll have to look at it when you come back.
Well, we've been threatening to put up something like that. And if we ever plant another garden, that's what
they just ain't no use
saying
you plant
a
garden unless you got some way and you got a dandy hole down there.
Look at that. You can have greens the year round. And all it takes is one of them little old things. It's a shame, isn't it? The color, it's a trifling. They couldn't get something like that. I haven't got anything. I'm not even close to it. I've thought about it a lot.
Well, we went to Myers. That's where we got our pump. And they wanted $155 for it, and I said, no. And I told Marvin, I said, come on, let's go hunt. And everywhere we went, they'd give us advice. Go yonder and buy something, and then go in over yonder and get something else, and go over yonder and get something else, and go over there the next place and pick up something else. And I said, I ain't going to do no such a thing. Come on, let's go pay the $155 for the pump, and we'll have it all, and then we'll be through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and got it, and hit runs just as slick as a button.
Well, I didn't even know you had it in mind.
And he told me, he and Marvin, he said, anytime anything goes wrong with that pump, he said, just call me. He said, if it don't work, call me or put it in your truck and bring it back to me.
Now, I know where you can get that treatment. You can buy stuff like that, and he'll stand behind it out here at Johnny Palmer's at Reddick, that big old store out there. He'll do it. And if he hadn't got the pump, he'll get it. And, you know, Artie Eastman works for him. He'll do anything for John Palmer. Isn't that something? He won't do much for me, but he'll do a whole lot for John Palmer. And you see, just take it back down there and show him that burns his
eyes.
And he'll get Artie Eastman down there to fix it. And Mr. Eastman can fix things.
Well, this man told us, he says, it's got to work. He says, if it ain't satisfactory, he said, you bring it back.
Mr. Eastman is the one that built this chimney.
Mm-hmm.
Built what? Might be better if you didn't tell him that.
The chimney.
That chimney right outside there.
That leaning chimney.
Some people like this little piece of... tin up there. Sorry, tacky just...
Oh, goodness.
What do you want y'all like today?
Well, you have to go out. Come back.
Yeah, go look at it.
When you go outside, you look at that chimney. It took him 2-3 weeks to get.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, I'm telling you.
I won't tell you how much it cost.
That ain't nothing. I've had 3 or 4 chimneys put to my house, and that flue that's in there.
Yeah.
And you just can't see a little block sticking up at the roof.
Yeah.
That's where Fowler put it in.
That's Arnold Fowler put it up there. And I paid him and I told him, I said, now Arnold, that chimney's got to go up higher. You know, I'll be back and he ain't never come back.
Is he the one that plays the guitar?
Yeah. He's the one that helped build our place over there. I still think Burma did most of the bricklaying. He built our fireplace, and I swear you can't build a fire, and everything wants to go up the chimney. It has such a dry...
Well, there's nothing wrong with my flue. It draws good, but that's dangerous. I couldn't have my house insured under no consideration. I've got to get somebody to go up there and fix it from the outside up
there. Oh, yeah.
No, I couldn't have it insured.
Well, you can't live in a house unless it's insured, can you?
Well, I have.
Yeah. Sometimes?
Sure, yeah, I never had no insurance on my house. If it was to burn down, you know what I'd do? Go down there to 20 Brothers and cut me some fell metal fans and build me a tent.
Don't just build your barn, live in it.
Yeah,
live like up that. There and put the animals downstairs.
How about putting the animals upstairs and me living down?
Well, she got a barn out there.
That's right, you did.
It's not painted, but that's a barn.
Oh, there ain't nothing but no shelter.
You can put a little paint on it, that would change it. Shirley, what I wanted to ask you, I got something out there I want to show you, but I want to find out what's cooking over there.
Well, we've invaded the subject long enough. Rick can tell you how far up in the air I was the other day when I come by here. I told him, you'd be glad you missed me.
Well, I haven't seen him.
Well, let me see, since I've talked to you last. I forget where we were at. But I talked to Mrs. Cassam.
Oh, you did?
She was a big help to me. She calmed me down quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I got to call her back again. But she gave me several ideas. And I went over there and sat in on some of the classes. But Bonnie has really got me messed up this week. I plan to do so much at the schoolhouse, you know, just go from social studies to spelling to math and so on and so forth over. But I've had to take her in Monday and Tuesday. So I didn't get much done this week. But I talked to Thomason. Kind of flew off the handle with him. And I talked to Longstreth.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Longstreth. And then I called Mrs. Green, and I told her that I had talked to Longstreth. The second conversation. I had called her after talking to Thomason. Well, that didn't do much good. So when I talked to Longstreth, he listened. He didn't say much because I wouldn't give him a chance. Thomason just gave me a runabout, you know, tried to calm me down, tell me what a nice school Hawthorne was and all that malarkey. And so I kind of got mad with him. Well, I didn't want to get mad with Longstreth, so I just kept talking so that he didn't get a word in edgewise. And when I got through, I told him, I said, I'm going over to the schoolhouse and I'm going to spend most of the week in the classroom starting Monday. Well, then Bonnie's situation came up, and I made the appointment Friday, so I didn't know until after I talked to Longstreth that I was going to be with her all week.
Thomason was the one who got messed up on his figures. He didn't...
On the ratio, you mean?
What was that? I didn't...
No, he said that we were not in the minority over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said we were. I thought we were, because every time I go over and count burr heads, there was more of them than there was of the whites. Well, he said, I asked him what the figures was on the ratio over there,
yeah.
And he said that he didn't know. I said, well, how can you tell me that we are not in the minority if you don't know what the figures are? This is what the gist of the conversation anyhow. And he said, well, I told him, I said, the fact of whether we are or we're not is not the problem. The racial problem is not my problem, at least. I said, what I want to know is, if I'm in the minority, can't I take my children from the school and move them into Gainesville, a school of my choice? And he said, well, this is true, but you're not in the minority. And that's when I flew off the handle and told him that I thought we were. But anyhow...
Well, now, what do you do when you fly off the handle, Shirley?
I get good and mad.
just let him have it.
I did. I let him have it, and boy, he didn't know what to say. And he thought I'd better look into the situation a little closer and try to understand a little better and calm down a little bit more and take in a few classes before we had another conversation. So that's when I did. I went on to school and went in on a few classes. I didn't like it at all. And I talked to Longstreth about it, and he was more understanding. He listened with both ears, where I don't think Thomason was listening at all. And Thomason kept giving me a roundabout answer, you see, trying to comfort me in all these problems, but he didn't get anywhere with it. So I then talked to Mrs. Green, and I told her that I had a long conversation with Longstreth. And she said, yes, I know, he called me. So she says, what we're going to do, Mrs. Dodd, under this circumstance, is to get another teacher and take a few of these children out of each of these classes and put them in one room with one teacher and let her teach all subjects to that grade, to those children. And the majority of the other children will be in this non-graded system. I said, fine, I want Timmy in that one room. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to take him and put him in where he can have one teacher, and he'll be graded on his subjects as he goes along, like he has been. Well, they had to change classes, I guess, in the 5th and 6th for Timmy. But now Danny is going to be the one that's going to catch most of this non-graded business. So I said, all right, what are you going to do for Danny? I said, I'll settle for this for Timmy, but what are you going to do for Danny? I said, since the other parents aren't interested, I'm not going to be interested in their children, but I am interested in mine. And she said, well, I'll tell you what we will do for Danny. She said, I'll call him in the office and have a conversation with him and find out what it is that he doesn't like about the schoolhouse. So she did. And I told her I was going to be over there at 3 o'clock and for her to meet me. I set the time and I told her, you're going to meet me. And I, at that time, you know, there was no...
begging at the door.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, you be there at 3 o'clock, and I'll be there at 3 o'clock. I said, we'll discuss this. She said, no, I'd rather talk to your child first before you come over. I said, all right, we'll do it your way there. We'll let you talk with the boys before I come over. And I said, that's where it's at anyway, is with the children. And you find out why they don't want to go to school. So she had a long talk with Danny in the office. And she asked him, she says, what do you dislike most in the school? And he said, the work. She said, what's wrong with the work? He said, it's baby stuff. Well, right there, that shows that they're not. There's no challenge for the children, and they've got to have a challenge in order to learn. So, and Mrs. Kassam was one of the ones that, you know, told me that they had to have the better of the teachers in order to have this program work at all, and it certainly weren't all that good over there. And I said, there's so much of a chaos with the racial problem that they cannot study, they can't learn for having to defend themselves in fights over it. So how are you going to have something like this non-graded system work over here, this team teaching? So she said, well, she said, you've got a point there. She said, I'll agree. She said, I've got to be honest with you. She said, it isn't working at this time. She said, it's new, the teachers are new at this, and the children are still in a turmoil. They don't know whether they're coming or going. But she said, we are working at it. And I said, well, meantime, I want Timmy in that one room. She said, well, that's fine. We've got him worked out. But now, this is the second time I was talking to her. She said, what we're doing for Danny, she said, he has all white teachers. And I said, well, I still think you're misinterpreting a lot of the problem. I said, I don't care whether they're white, purple, black, or yellow. I said, as long as he's getting an education. And I said, I don't think he's getting an education from the way he talks about his classes. Well, she said, you talk to him every day when he comes in from school and see if it isn't any better. So Monday I talked with him, and he said, boy, he says, this work's getting pretty good now. Tuesday I talked with him, and he says, boy, he says, you know, I got to think a lot now. He says, it doesn't come that easy anymore.
He's not giving it to his brother to do the work now?
No, he's really bucking that. And boy, he really likes it. He gets in there and does problems, you know, and extra work. And takes it to school with him the next morning. But he is really challenging to him now, and it's more fun. Whereas the other way, it was boring and disgusting to him. So evidently, he said they put him in another group and they stepped him up. So whether this team teaching is going to work or not, but at least they're meeting me 50-50.
At least they know that somebody's watching.
That's right. They put Timmy in a higher group. He was working in a fifth grade level book, and here he is in the seventh grade, and he was doing third grade level math. And I thought, well, all right, I'll go along with this, because maybe they have to start at a lower level in order to bring them up where they should be. You see, so which is the characteristic of that type of math that they're doing. So I thought, well, in order for him to be introduced into this type of math, he may have to be working at a lower level and gradually work up. So I'm not altogether against what they're doing, but the children are bored at the level that they're working. They want something more difficult, and they're getting it now. So I'm beginning to cool off a little bit. But it was just ridiculous.
When did this start?
Since the beginning of school, but I've let it go, thinking, well, you know, they're going to have to run tests, give the children tests to see what level they're working at. I was willing to go along with it for a while, just until, here it is a month or so now since school started.
Yes, yes.
They should know about what the level of children are working, and they should be placed in some categories where they're at least challenging in their work. But it was getting easier for them if nothing else.
But every person I talked to said go along with it.
Yeah.
And
well, now, he must have done something.
He's the one that can put the button on. He's the head of the whole thing.
He
and
must
and
have
he
done
did,
something.
Because he called me soon.
He must have.
Shirley, let them visit a minute, and I want to go down to
okay.
Let me put on my trousers.
But you know, we jumped in the car Sunday, and we went all the way over to Gilchrist County, over to Bell, looking for some property, and I meant business. We were either going to sell out
John
and buy another
and
place
me
in Bell. I got a hold of the principal over at Bell High School over at...
You mean it was that serious?
You're darn
move.
Right. I was ready to
John
go. So was Berman. He's still looking for property.
Heard
over
about
there.
That.
I call
he
him off.
Me.
Huh?
John Henry asked me about that a while ago and said that Tina told him, and I said, well, that's what she told me and Benny.
Yeah. Because I found some property over there.
About
600 acres for less than half of what we've got. Less than half of what we would, I think it was $350 an acre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over in Gilchrist County.
Good ground?
No, sorry, ground.
Yeah,
that's why we
yeah,
backed out of
yeah.
that. We'd have to find something better
it's
because
high,
it's it's very low in fertility rating. So we and there was no water holes on this. It was
yeah.
just pumps, you know.
But you were just ready to move.
I was ready. Oh, I
yeah.
swear, this is your piece of cake. This is all that's left of mine. That's your piece of cake.
No, that's yours.
I'm gonna have sugar so bad I'll have to go to 10 doctors to get straightened out. Mm.
You better hurry up. You won't get home time enough.
Berman, we love that. I'll have to get that recipe.
Pick Bonnie up.
He walks faster than I do. I just pick him.
That's right. He does walk faster.
I want to get you some more.
You want to see a pretty garden this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like that. That's corn. We had beans planted all between corn. You know how much beans they put up?
Mm-hmm.
They put up 100 quarts.
Is that
right? Green beans, whole beans,
mm-hmm.
and they put up
squash, tomatoes. Whole beans. Oh,
these are half runners.
My favorite.
These are half runners. But they're good. And they put up cucumbers and bread and butter pickles and green tomatoes and all sorts of stuff.
Oh.
I think we got. This shows a little better. Well, this shows this one they're first starting on it.
Mm-hmm.
These are all messy garden. There's our chicken. We've been eating them. Don't mind me, jump on the chicken tender.
I didn't
even
quite
once.
See all those.
And Miss Mary, you can't eat that pig.
Hmm. And saying, well, wrong, we could only just do that. Oh, it's been bothering me off and on, but it's been really giving me trouble the last day or so.
Your nose and throat, man.
Ain't one thing, it's something else.
How's that hay y'all planted coming along? That special grass that you planted for hay?
Oh, we done cut that one time. We got, I think, 65 bales.
Now that looks easy.
We had to cut it on account of the dust on those army worms.
Mm.
We got in it.
Hmm. But they root up under the grass or something?
They just go in there and just eat it up.
Oh.
Did you know that Miss Dot ain't got no pasture?
Well, she's just like a prairie over there. Looks like a prairie over there.
She just absolutely, I don't know how to pass.
I don't either, Miss Mary.
What, no rain? No rain.
And they mow it down to the stubble.
If it had been me, I'd have turned them cows in there in October.
Instead of making hay.
That's right.
That's why they go down so fast.
Absolutely.
And you know, the vet said they had parasites too.
But she will. But they absolutely have to.
They would have to.
See, she ain't got no pasture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like mine.
Yeah, but she took your calves off and your calves for a while. At least gave it a chance. She hadn't had a chance to take hers off. Mm-hmm. Let it come back up.
This something's going to have to happen to this. They sure gonna have to do some feeding or else they can lose some cows.
Well, you know how fast they go down. And I remember that one winter, not last winter, but the one before where all the calves came out with this water. And they got the pink eye and the cows went down. That bull she had was in bad shape too, it looked like.
They over there surveying it. My property.
Did you know what's happened?
Tell
Suzanne doesn't know.
I sold my
property. Oh, did you? What's wonderful?
Yep. Done got it fenced off. And there it is. Surveying it.
Did those people you were talking about last time I was here by? You know, that fellow from Mississippi was over
there. Oh, well, he didn't mind us to be here.
No.
No, these here people, they didn't buy it. This is another concern. Mm. Some lawyer. Ding, ding, ding. Them people, they didn't want to get it that price. Mm. Couldn't afford it. The back
there. Well, I'm glad you sold it one way.